Well, a couple weeks ago, I was scrolling through Facebook, as you do, and I came upon a post from someone who I have not seen in years. She was a fellow camp counselor at Marlew Ridge, and it was just an adorable post that showed a picture of her two children in their car. And she then posted the conversation that took place. Her youngest said, "Can I hold your hand? Hold your hand, hold your hand!" And she said to her little girl, "Baby, I'm driving. I can't hold your hand." At which point her older child chimes in saying, "I can hold your hand, Adelaide." They're just so gosh darn cute sometimes, aren't they? Which is a good thing, because so much of the time they're quite annoying. Sorry. They have to balance it a little bit. How precious is that? "Mommy, can I hold your hand?" That's okay. I will. How often are we like Adelaide? How often do we just want a God who will simply hold our hand through our grief, uncertainty, pain, frustration, guilt? How often do we long to hold the hand of someone we have had to say goodbye to? These disciples must want nothing more than to return to their last meal together, to have things go back to the way they were, to hold on to that moment when Jesus knelt down and washed their feet, something so intimate and meaningful. What are they thinking as these disciples gather together, seemingly for the first time since the resurrection, since mutterings of the resurrection have circulated? What are these 11 plus the others of Jesus' followers thinking about and talking about? Are they reminiscing? Are they wondering over the strange reports that have come their way? Are they just trying to get their bearings, wondering what the next step might be for them? They have heard that the women went to the tomb and found it empty. It makes no sense. They have heard now that Jesus appeared to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and it was wonderful and meaningful. But they only recognized Jesus in an instant, and then he vanished from their sight. Had he even been real? Had it just been a dream? It makes no sense. And now they have also heard that Jesus appeared to Simon alone. It makes no sense. Nothing will ever be the same again. Nothing can make things better. And nothing, even these appearances, can bring him back to them as he was before. Some of you have been there before. I know it. You have suffered through saying goodbye to someone you dearly love, and then you see signs. You see signs of their presence appear before you. A favorite bird of theirs lands on your window sill, and you think that is them, acknowledging your grief and their love for you. Someone uses the exact same expression that your loved one used all the time. You think that is a sign. Or you just sense their presence, their love, a glow of their spirit, or maybe even a ghost-like image, whether in your waking hours or in your sleep. And those moments are beautiful and comforting, but also fleeting. Well, it seems Jesus recognizes their grief and confusion that accompanies their joy in his presence, And so while in their joy they were still disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" There's nothing mystical about that, is there? Eating is so normal. It's what people need to, well, it's what people need to live, right? A ghost does not need food. And a bunch of these disciples were fishermen, after all. To eat fish together would be something so familiar, something so normal. These disciples get what none of us actually get in this life with our loved ones who have died. These people that we miss so much, it physically hurts. They get Jesus' physical presence. Oh, if only we could eat fish with our loved ones again. Or crabs, maybe. Or burger cookies, or a hot milk cake, or whatever that favorite food is for you and your loved one. Oh, if only we could hold the hand of our loved ones again. If only we could hold the hand of God. Maybe it wouldn't hurt so much. Mommy, can I hold your hand? Hold your hand! Hold your hand! Baby, I'm driving. I can't hold your hand. I can hold your hand, Adelaide. It's true that in this life, you will not again hold the hand of those you most miss. But there are others among us ready to hold your hand, to be the hand of God, until you can embrace those you have most missed in the kingdom of God. And as you know, you can be the hand of God to others by your love and comfort for those who are hurting, by your delivering food and other supplies to those who most need it, by your work teaching children as they make their way back towards in-person school, by your standing in solidarity with those who feel their lives are at risk for no other reason than the color of their skin, in mourning for the hits that just keep coming, by your advocacy for opportunities for those who have been left behind. By this and more, you are the hand of God. You are witnesses of these things, that there is new life in Jesus, who came that we might live in freedom, not for ourselves, but for another, that we might bear one another up in love. It's been too long since many of us have embraced one another. Oh, what a joy it has been to hug a few of among you again. And I look forward to these physical signs of support and love being possible again soon. Until then, know that God does not abandon us. But God gives us to one another. We will bear one another up in love, along with every single person we encounter in this community and beyond. You are witnesses of these things. You are the hand of God. You are the witness to God's love in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.